The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Hallelujah. The thief's purpose is to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. Shall we pray? Father, we ask that you breathe upon your word. Let the entrance of your word bring clarity to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. We said the word purpose there is the same word scopus. The word purpose in the Greek is scopus, which means the reason for which something is done or for what something is created or for something to exist. The reason why something exists. Hallelujah. Every machine, everything you buy has an instruction manual. And in the instruction manual, it gives you the purpose of the thing and how to use that particular thing effectively. If you don't have the purpose, and most of us, I don't know whether the person sitting by you is guilty. Most of us don't take our time to read the instruction manual before we start using something. They say that they will figure it out, and for most times, as they are using it, there are certain aspects of the machine that is never used because they never discovered it. When people are trying to fix, a bed or a table or a computer table, anything, and they don't read the manual, they'll finish assembling the thing, and then there are a few screws left spare. And then they'll say, oh, this is a spare screw. No, they don't give any spare screws. What it means is that there is a place that particular screw was supposed to go that you didn't put. Because you didn't know, you didn't read the instruction. I want us to talk about the purpose of our salvation. The purpose of our salvation. What is the purpose of our salvation? That I have come, my purpose is for them to have a rich life, a satisfying life. My purpose is to give them salvation. If salvation is the purpose of God, it's like a brand new mobile phone that has been given to us. Can we safely say that we know everything about the phone? Can we say that we have a good understanding of the phone in our hands? Can we say that we have maximized the use of every app, every facet of the phone? You know it and you have used it to the maximum. There are some things, for most of us, me inclusive, all I know is dialing, WhatsApp, text, maybe photos or record, whatever, and that's it. I don't know about all those things. I was born before these type of things came. Hallelujah. So that is it. For most of us, our salvation is only up to a certain point because we don't know why we were saved. We don't even know the purpose of salvation. So there's a saying that goes like, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, abuse is what? Inevitable. Which means that we are abusing our salvation because we don't know the purpose for our salvation. So today I want us to spend time to look at the basics, the basic foundational reason for your salvation, my salvation. Hallelujah. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says something, verse 1. There is a time, a season, and a purpose to everything. Everything has a time. Everything has a season, and everything has a what? Purpose. Hallelujah. To everything, there's a time, there's a season, there's a time, and there's a purpose for it. So our salvation has a time, our salvation has a season, and our salvation has a purpose. Hallelujah. Let's say it together. My salvation has a time. My salvation has a season. My salvation has a purpose. If you can understand these three things, you will do very well. A lot of times, I don't know whether the university has changed, but when I was in university, if the most important lecture you must never miss is the last few lectures close to reading week, when the lecturer comes in and he starts to talk, give like a whole, not tutorial, like a whole, almost like a summary of the whole course. Because as he keeps talking, he is giving you hints as to where the exams will be based and what he expects from you as an answer. Is this still the same? So if you don't go for those type of lectures, you are guaranteed not to do very well. Hallelujah. You are guaranteed not to do very well, because if your lecturer is the one setting the questions, then you can get the hints from where the questions will come from. By that, what he emphasizes on, you know very, very well that is where he's going to base his exam questions from. And when it starts talking about what he expects from you, it tells you what he needs in the answer you give. Hallelujah. So we are going to see that God's purpose for our salvation is in the process of salvation itself. Ephesians. Go to Ephesians with me. From Ephesians 2, from 8 to 10. It says that God saved you by his grace. Give me the New King James. For by grace have you been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Hallelujah. Let's break it down. For by grace have you been saved? What is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. Are you with me? And grace has to do with mercy. And mercy is you being absorbed of a punishment that you deserve. Am I making sense? So we needed to be punished because all have sinned, have come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So if the wages of sin is death and you have sinned, then you deserve death. But because of his mercy, his grace has been made available. So for by grace have you been saved through faith. It is not of any works that you have done. It is a gift from God. So you don't have any reason to boast. I don't know whether you are getting it. For by grace have you been saved. Grace saved us. He saved us, which means that he had a reason. I will not make this appliance if I don't have a reason for it. You will not go into a shop to buy anything if you don't have need for it. If you buy something, especially something that is worth a lot of money, it must have a good enough reason and purpose for you to purchase it. If God purchased our salvation with his own blood, then it means that he had a very good reason. Our salvation is not to make us look pretty and cute. You are not more beautiful than the one who is on crack. You are not more beautiful than the prostitute who has had about 7 or 8 customers all night. And she's now getting up to start the day. You are not better than the one who's drunk on alcohol lying on the roadside. So it's not of anything that you did good. It is grace that met you. If grace met you, then you owe grace. I don't know whether you got what I said. I don't know whether you got. If grace met you, then you owe grace. If money met this bell, then this bell owes the money. If money owes value, then this particular bell owes me value. Because I bought this bell for the value it produces. So if I start using it and it doesn't produce the value that I expect, I take it back to the shop and I tell the shop owner, this bell is defective. It's not working. Please give me my money back or give me a better bell. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. So if he bought you, then you owe him the value that he spent in buying you. So you can never say that, well, I have been purchased, I've been bought. God has clothed me in my right mind, and I thank God. And you go about your business and think that you are doing the right thing. It is not of yourselves. Some of us, we think we are doing God a favor because we saved ourselves. We got saved. We decided to come to the house of God. We decided to be part of the church. We decided to be part of the choir. We decided to be part of this ministry or that ministry. So when we are not happy, we can decide to unpack ourselves from the place. You are living a dangerous life. I say you are living a dangerous life because you owe the buyer the worth that he spent on you, which is his blood. It is not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. It is of him that will it. I don't know whether you are getting where I'm going with this. It is not what you have done. It is not who you are. It is him and his grace that found you. So Paul says that I don't count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, I forget everything that has happened in the past, and I press on towards the mark of the high calling, so that in case I will apprehend the purpose for which I was apprehended. Give me that scripture. Philippians. It says that my main goal, my main focus now is to understand why I got saved. Because if I can understand the purpose of my salvation, then I'll do well. Philippians 3:12 says that, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for that which Christ also laid hold of me. For that which he paid for my salvation. Why he bought me, I need to understand it. Because if I can understand it, then I can be effective. Hallelujah. Most of us don't understand why he purchased us. That is why we behave the way we behave. Most of us don't know that salvation is not free. There's a question in economics. There's no free lunch. Discuss. And to answer that question, you may have to write about 5 or 6 pages with diagrams, else you failed. There is no free lunch. Discuss. Today, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, there's no free salvation, discuss. Somebody has paid for it. And if somebody has paid for it, then they demand that you give them the satisfaction or the value for which they spent their blood. Hallelujah. So let's review. Number one, salvation, grace. It's grace that has found us, isn't it? There are six things I want you to see there. Number one is what? Grace is what has saved you. Yeah? Number two is what? Okay, salvation is a result of grace, number one. Number two is faith. It depends on my faith as the instrument through which salvation comes. Number three, salvation is not from myself. It's not of ourselves, lest we should boast. Now, number four, it's a gift from God. Number five, salvation is not a result of my good works. Number six, the purpose that... it's not that I have had it by myself, so I should boast. Hallelujah. Do you get it? So let's go back. Salvation is what? Grace. Number two, it comes through faith. You have been saved by grace through faith. So you need to believe to receive it. You see, that statement through faith, it's for everything in the kingdom. It's the key to any and everything that you get from the kingdom of God. I didn't mean. So to get promotion in the realms of the of spiritual realm is through faith. It's the key is through faith. So without your faith, you will not go to the next level. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because the key to unlock the next level of God is what? Through faith. The next door to operating as a prophet is through the key of faith. To operate as a pastor is through the key of faith. To go through, to become anything in the kingdom of God is through faith. Hallelujah. Without faith, there's no salvation. Works cannot give you salvation. You can't say that I'll make myself good enough for salvation. Hallelujah. You can do all the good things you know how to do. If you have sinned in one aspect of the law, you have sinned in every. Hallelujah. Number three was what? It's not from myself. Salvation is not from myself. I did not make myself saved. Number four, it's a gift from God. Hallelujah. If I gave you a gift, Shawnee, according to the level of respect and regard you have for me, you will cherish the gift, especially when the gift I have given is precious. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you disrespect the gift, you are disrespecting me. Because I went out of my way with you in mind to give you this precious gift. I don't know what I get. So I gave you a precious diamond ring. The reason why, the reason why I gave you this diamond ring is because I'm in love with you. And can I preach? I'm in love with you and I want you to be my.
I was going to use a word, but I don't think it's appropriate in church.
You accept the ring, you put it on your finger. If after accepting my ring, you go off with another man, you have disrespected the gift and the giver of the gift. You know, when I use that example, you can see it. But salvation is more expensive than a diamond ring given by God to you because he wants to marry you. I don't know whether you got it. Now God has married us. And we take the ring, put it on our finger, and we go off with. We don't only disrespect the gift, which is our salvation, but we disrespect the giver of our salvation, which is God himself. I don't know whether you're understanding it. Because for most of us, we don't think deeply about our salvation. Recently, I went back home and I met a few old friends. And it made me appreciate the gift of salvation. Because the only difference between me and my old friends is salvation. We grew up from the same on the same street. On the same street. Same, raised by the same kind of parents. Went to the same type of schools. Did everything. We played together. The only difference, I looked at myself and I looked at some of my friends as they were trying to nick a buck from my pocket and trying to. Everybody's coming. Something. Trying to find. You know? Something for the old man. What really made me sad is that you see some of these people, they look like 20 times older than their age. And they look like. You won't say that this person is my age mate. We are same age, but his teeth are gone. I'm not talking about one person. I'm not talking about two people. I'm not talking about three. I'm talking about a bunch of my friends. We grew up in the same area. When I look at that, I said to myself, the only difference is salvation. So if I take the salvation God has given me for granted, then I'm taking God for granted. And if God saved me, then he must have had a purpose for saving me. Let's look at some of the purpose for our salvation. Number one. Sorry? I gave you four. Now, let's finish that one. Let's go back. Salvation is a result. It's not a result of good works. It's not, you don't work to have salvation. Then the last one was what? It is not something to boast about because you didn't do anything for it. All right. Are we okay? Purpose of salvation number one. Why did God save you and I? The first purpose is so that we can become like him. Romans chapter 8, 29 to 30. He wanted us to become like Christ. The Bible says that for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, this he also called. And whom he called, this he also justified. And whom he justified, this he also glorified. Now, this sounds like a wet salad. Can I have some people come? Let me give me about 4 or 5 people come. Quickly. Okay. So he would look like Jesus. So this is Jesus. All right. Go back to 29. That's Jesus. So this is, assume for the purpose of explanation, I am God. And I send my son, Jesus, to the world. Are you with me? And I know that what I've sent him here for is only for a season. And after the season, he's going to be recalled. So I, for whom he foreknew, he predestined. So God went ahead to predestine this person, that person, that person, and called them. Are you with me? Predestined means that beforehand, he went ahead of time to make a choice. And he called them to conform to his image, which means that they are going to now become. Have you watched that program? Transform. What do you call it? Makeover. 60-minute makeover. So I'm making these guys over. It doesn't matter how they look like. I'm making them over to become like him. You understand what I'm saying? So he is sinless. He is the only begotten. He is full of grace. He is good. He is everything that Christ is. And now these guys are rogues that I've brought. But I have washed them, made them over. So now that I don't see them as sinners, I see them as the image of the Son of God, that he becomes the firstborn this way among many brothers. So he is the firstborn. He is second born, third born, last born, or fourth born, fifth born. So they are all like him. They are all sons. So what I do for him is the same thing I do for him. It's the same thing I do for him. It's the same thing I do for him. Why? Because he is now not just Jesus, but it's Jesus. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. I don't know whether you're getting it. These are all that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And verse 30, quickly. So now, whoever he predestined, so you stand here, whoever he predestined, this he has called. And whoever he called, this he has made over, justified. And whom he has justified, this he has made up. So that now, they all look like him. So our first reason for salvation is to be made over, to become like him. So you see, when you go to a workplace, you are the Jesus they see. There's no more Jesus. Sorry, don't fall down. There's no more Jesus at the workplace, but you are the Jesus they see. Why? Because you have been justified, you have been called, you have been glorified to conform to the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? So when, thank you, put your hands together for these guys. So you see, the first thing for us that we must understand is that he has called us to be the Jesus in our homes, in our families, in the places wherever we are. That's number one reason. Number two reason. The purpose of our salvation is for us to fellowship with him. He called us to fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom? So we are called by God into a fellowship with Jesus Christ. So you see, if you do not fellowship with him, the purpose of our salvation is not being met. Do you understand what I'm saying? How do we fellowship with him? We fellowship with him reading the word of God. We fellowship with him in prayer. We fellowship with him with the saints of God. That is why when you neglect the assembling of ourselves together, you are doing something very detrimental to your salvation. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Because your salvation demands fellowship. The fuel into your salvation is fellowship. I don't know whether you're getting it. Minister Master was saying that you need to be recharged. Because salvation without fellowship makes you lose your battery. You lose the phone signal. See, when a phone dies, it loses the internet signals, isn't it? It loses power. You can't use it to make any phone calls. You can't use it to receive any phone calls. Why? Because it is dead. Some of us, lack of fellowship has killed our salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you need salvation to be revived, energized in your life, then you need to fellowship with God. That is why we must read our Bibles every day. That is why we must pray every day. That is why we must fellowship as often as we can. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because I need that fellowship. The reason why I am here is because I want to be. Jesus, Bible says that Jesus called the 12. Give me that scripture. Mark. He called the 12 to be with him. That was the reason. Are you with me? The person has gone to sleep at the back. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them to what? Preach. The first reason was what? To be with him. That was the first reason. He wanted them to be with him. Then he appointed them that they might send them to preach. Hallelujah. Number three reason. Purpose of our salvation is to become light and the salt of the earth. The purpose of your salvation is to become what? Light and the salt of the... I wrote something very interesting about light. I want to read exactly what I wrote down. Light stands out in the dark room. The purpose of the light is not necessarily to benefit the light source itself, but those who are sitting in darkness until the light came. Do you want me to read it again? The light stands out in a dark room. When you have a bright room and you put on a light, it doesn't stand out. But when you are in a dark room and you put on a light, then it stands out. And the purpose for the light is not necessarily to benefit the light source. So this is a light source. The purpose of the light is not for the source. It is to illuminate the room for those who are sitting in darkness. So your salvation is not for you. It's to brighten the room for others who are sitting in darkness. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. The Bible... I'm going to give a controversial statement, but listen, hear me out. The Bible is not the light of the world. the Bible may be the light of the church, but it is not the light of the world. It is the light of the church because the church reads the Bible. The world doesn't. The world reads what it reads. So guess who is the light of the world? You. They read you. And as they are reading you, they are reading the Bible because you are a reflection of what the Bible says. I don't know whether you got it. I don't think you got it. I'm going to try something else. The moon has no light of its own. The moon is a reflection of the light source from the sun. S-U-N. The sun is where the light comes from, and the moon radiates the sun onto the earth. So we look in the night when we are looking at the moon for light. What we are seeing is a reflection of the sun through the moon to us. S-U-N. When you fellowship with the sun, S-O-N, he gives you light. The light is not your light. It is his light that is being reflected from you to the world. Are you getting it? So the S-U-N reflects light in the night for those of us in the dark to see where we are going. The S-O-N, sun, reflects light to us so that we shine in this dark world for others who are not safe to see. So if the moon refuses to show up, there will be darkness. There will be total, when there's eclipse of the moon, there is total darkness. Are you with me? The darkness that is not because the sun failed to shine. The sun was shining. The sun always shines. S-U-N always shines. But something had blocked the reflector, which is the moon, from reflecting light to us. So the world is still in the dark at night, outer darkness. When the S-O-N, sun, he never goes off with light. But when we refuse to reflect or radiate his light to the world, when we refuse to tell anybody about the love of God, when we refuse to invite people to church, when we refuse to show people how to know God, how to get closer to God, we are becoming a total eclipse. Which means that the world will sit in darkness because of us. Hallelujah. My prayer for all of us is that we'll reflect his light. You know, let's look at Matthew when it talks about you are the light and the salt of the earth. Matthew 5, 13 to 16 says that you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, it is, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do we light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. When salt loses its flavor, it is good for nothing. Salt is a preservative. Salt adds taste. You may put sugar in the thing, but it won't be tasty. When you put a little bit of salt, it brings the sugar, the taste of the sugar out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Salt in itself cannot be enjoyed. I don't know whether you understand. You cannot eat salt and it's nice. Which means that your salvation is not for you. You cannot enjoy your salvation. I don't know whether you're getting it. Because it doesn't taste nice in your mouth. It is when your salvation impacts life. That is when your salvation becomes useful. My prayer for all of us is that from today we take our salvation and use it very well. Hallelujah. Let me move on because of time. He called us to stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30. He called us so that we will stand in the gap. You know, in the olden days, in the Bible days, cities were built with walls around it. Are you with me? They build, say for instance, the city of Leeds, they will build a perimeter wall to fence the whole city to prevent intruders from coming in to attack. Because in those days, they used to attack people. If you want, let's say for instance, you need food. Let's say Bradford want food, they are hungry, and they don't have food because their crops didn't work. So they'll go to Leeds to go and attack them to take their food for survival. So it was a survival of the fittest. If for any reason a part of the wall is broken, what they used to do was that they would call sentries or they call soldiers to stand in the gap to prevent thieves and intruders from coming in because there's a breach in the wall. So they need somebody to stand in the gap. In Ezekiel 22:30, for I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. In John chapter 17, Jesus was praying for the church. And he said something. In John 17, quickly, guy. Did you all get my notes? In John 17:20, my prayer is not for them alone, but I pray for those who believe in me through their message. Hallelujah. Jesus was saying that he was praying for all of us who will stand in the gap for so he stood in the gap for us. The whole John chapter 17 was a prayer that Jesus prayed for the church. He was standing in the gap for the church. And then he said that, I'm not praying for all of them alone. I'm praying for anybody that comes. So that they will stand in my stead and pray for the people. So one of our main duties as individuals is to pray for. So you are the bridge closer of your family. You are the gap filler of your school, your classroom. You are the one he has called. I sought for a man to stand in the gap so that I don't destroy the land. And I found no man. Why? Because the people didn't understand their job. They didn't know that they were called for the purpose of standing in the gap. Are you with me? My prayer is that you from today, you stand in the gap. In that area you live, you are the one who has been called to stand in the gap. The reason why they are stealing and they are breaking into cars and everything is because nobody's standing to pray for that place. It's our duty to pray for the city. It's our duty to pray for the area. It's our duty to pray for the workplace. It's our duty to pray for the university. It's our duty to pray because we have been called to stand in the gap. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more. Can I give you one more so we close? We have been called to be fruitful. We have been called to bear fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 1, it says that I am the vine, and my Father is what? The vine dresser. Every tree branch that does, in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Can you see it? Which means that the farmer or the gardener, he's about fruit. He's not just because of the beauty of the branch. The purpose of the tree, the purpose of salvation is for more fruit. In verse 13, he says, greater love has no man than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my father, I have made known to you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I chose you. I called you for a reason. And the reason is that you go and produce after your kind. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, have you produced all year round? Ask them, this year, have you produced? What I mean by have you produced is that have you brought somebody to be like you? Or you haven't? If you haven't, then means the purpose of your salvation is not being met. Because you are supposed to go out there and bring forth fruit and let your fruit remain. I pray for the church. I pray that all of us from today will take our salvation seriously. From today we will become fruitful. Stand to your feet.